Welcome to Live with Lon today. So glad to have you with us. And we are returning today to our study in the book of Acts after a break for Easter and Passover. So welcome back. And did you ever wonder why all these false religions are around? Did you ever wonder why all these religious systems and Christian heresies are around when they're wrong? Why doesn't God just wipe them out? Well, we're going to talk about that today, right out of the Bible. So, are you ready? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for our time to study your word today. Thank you for your precious word and the wonderful truths that it gives us. And thank you that it is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And that if we read the Bible, study the Bible, know the Bible, practice the Bible, and listen to the Bible and its warnings about where to go and where not to go, that we cannot go wrong. So, Lord, use that today to encourage our spirit as we seek to follow you in everything that we are and have. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, what? Amen. And what? Amen. Okay. Now, we're going to start today in Acts, the end of Acts chapter 5, and then we'll be carrying on from there. What do we study here at Lon Solomon Ministries? Well, we study what? The Bible. Come on now. The whole Bible. Nothing but the Bible. And then we apply it to our life. We use the New King James Version of the New Testament for our study. And we're in Acts chapter 5. So let's pick up a little bit of background. If you'll remember, the disciples, particularly the apostles, have been preaching the gospel, preaching the gospel, preaching the gospel there in Jerusalem, in the temple courts, and all through the city, both in public, the Bible says, and from house to house. And the religious leaders of Israel were not happy about this. As we said in our Easter message, all they had to do is produce the dead body of Jesus, and everything we know of as biblical Christianity goes away, stops. But they didn't do that. Why? Because, as we said, there was no body to produce. Why? Because Jesus rose from the dead in his glorified body, and in that body ascended back into heaven, Acts chapter 1. But they arrested the apostles, and they kept telling them, we want you to stop this preaching in the name of Jesus. Even after miracles were done, like the healing of the lame man in Acts chapter 3, a miracle that the rabbis said, we can't deny, but they kept saying, we want you to stop preaching in the name of Jesus. Even though Peter says it was in the name of Jesus that this man was healed, and they said, well, we can't deny the healing, but stop preaching. Well, thank God for the apostles, they didn't. You need to decide, they said, whether it's right for us to obey man or God, but we're obeying God. Now, that's where we pick up in Acts chapter 5. Let's pick up at verse 29. The apostles are standing before the Jewish high council, the Sanhedrin. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree, the cross. Him, Jesus, God has exalted with his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Verse 33, and when they, the rabbis, heard this, they were furious and took counsel to kill them. Then one in the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all people, and he commanded them to put the apostles outside of this meeting for a little while, because he wanted to speak in private to the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the scribes, all the rabbinic people who were there. Now, what do we know about this gentleman named Gamaliel? Well, he actually was Gamaliel the second. He actually had a father who was known Gamaliel. He was Gamaliel the first. And he actually was a very highly regarded, well-known scholar in the days of the apostles. In fact, he's mentioned in the Bible one other place. Let me show you. Later in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 22, the apostle Paul has returned to Jerusalem after his third missionary journey. He has gone to the temple to carry out some liturgical rituals to which he had committed himself. And while he was there, he was recognized by some Jewish people who lived in Greece at the places he had gone in Turkey. And they started a riot to kill him. And when finally he was able to quiet the crowd down, he said to them, verse 1 of chapter 22 of Acts, he said, men, brethren, and fathers, hear my defense to you now. And when he heard that they spoke to him in the Hebrew language, they kept all the more silent. People have questioned whether this was Hebrew or Aramaic. The Bible says Hebrew. I think it was Hebrew he spoke. Those two are kissing cousins. They're very similar. So could it have been Aramaic Hebrew? Yes, but it doesn't matter. It was their local dialect, not Latin, not Greek. Okay. Now look what he says, verse 3. I indeed am a Jew, born in Tarsus. We'll talk about that more later in the book of Acts. Tarsus is in the southern, actually the southeastern part of modern-day Turkey. I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia. Tarsus was his city. Cilicia was like his state. No zip code back then. But brought up in this city, Jerusalem, his parents apparently sent Paul to schooling in Jerusalem at the feet of, look at this, Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and I was zealous towards God, as you all are today. And then he goes on to tell him, you know, and I was persecuting the church, and then I was on my way to Damascus, and then I heard a voice from heaven, and, and then he gives him his testimony. Okay, but this guy Gamaliel, Paul says, I sat at his feet. He was my teacher in the things of rabbinic Judaism and the things of the Torah and the things of the law. This is Gamaliel the second, same guy. Now, Gamaliel asks for the apostles to be put out so he can speak privately to the rabbis. And here's what he says to them. Verse 35, men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men. Verse 36, for some time ago, Theudas rose up claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who obeyed him were scattered and brought to nothing. After this man, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say to you, keep away from these men and leave them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you be found to fight even against God. Now, who are these people, Thutis and Judas? Well, we don't know anything about Thutis, but we do know a little bit about this Judas character, because Josephus, the great Jewish historian, mentions him. Josephus says that he rose up in the Galilee area, just like the Bible says here. He refused to pay taxes to the Romans. He formed a little guerrilla group against the Roman occupation, but was killed, just the way the Bible says. So these are false messiahs that are rising up against the Roman occupation. And this is what Gamaliel's talking about. And he says, hey, look, they both came to nothing. And their movement was vaporized. So if these guys, the apostles, are not from God, then that's what will happen to them. And if they are, well, you don't want to oppose them, because you may be found to be opposing God himself. So, verse 40, and they, the rabbis, agreed with him, and when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. And they, the apostles, departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer abuse, shame, for his, Jesus' name, and daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah. So they paid no attention to the council. Why? Because we're going to obey God and not men. We are subject to a higher authority. And our higher authority said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, the Lord Jesus. And that's who they decided their loyalty and their fealty belonged to. And that's what they did. Praise the Lord. We'll talk more about that next week. Okay, so here's our passage for today. And the title of the message today reflects this. The title of the message today is Longevity Does Not Mean Reality. Longevity does not mean reality. You say, what does that mean? Well, let's ask our most important question, and I'll explain it to you. Come on now. Are you ready? Here we go. One, two, three. Come on. So what? Yeah. Well, thank God for these apostles. Thank God they didn't shut up. Thank God they went right back out and went to preaching. And when Jesus grabs you and Jesus changes your life, that's what you do. Your loyalty is to him. We must obey God rather than men. Hey, you know what Jackie Gleason says about that approach? He says, how sweet it is. Oh, yeah. Okay. Now, what do I mean when I say that longevity does not mean reality? Okay. What do I mean by that? Well, very simply, I mean that Gamaliel was wrong. I mean, what he said about Thutis and Judas was correct. But as a guiding principle of history, he's wrong. Just because something has, here's what I mean, longevity does not mean that it has reality. As long as just because something lasts a long time does not mean that it is real, right, correct, theologically, righteous, that it is of God. You understand what I'm saying? Gamaliel said, if it lasts a long time, then maybe it's from God. And I'm saying no, that there are a lot of things that last a long time from a theological, religious point of view, but that doesn't mean that they are real, correct, right. You with me? What I'm saying? Okay. Now, you say, well, like, what are some examples? Okay, a Buddhism has lasted a long time, but that doesn't mean it's correct. Confucianism has lasted a long time, even to this very day. That doesn't mean it's correct. Longevity does not mean reality. Islam has lasted a long time. That doesn't mean it's correct. Many, many strands of Christianity have lasted a long time. That doesn't mean that they're theologically correct. Now, have there been some religions that have come across the screen that are no longer having longevity, like Zoroastrianism? I don't think it has too many followers today. I think it's still around. The Mormons have lasted a long time. Does that mean that the Mormonism is correct? No. Jehovah's Witnesses have lasted a long time. Does that longevity mean that Jehovah's Witnesses are reality, that they are spiritually and theologically correct? No. No. Gamaliel's not right. That if it's not of God, it'll just peter out and go away. That's what he said. That's not right. These things, all these things, are not theologically correct, and they're not from God, the God of the universe, but they didn't peter out and go away. Okay, made my point. Longevity does not mean reality. Gamaliel was incorrect. Now, it happened to be very beneficial for the apostles at the time that he was incorrect, and beneficial for the gospel that he was incorrect. Beside that, what he said is not right. You say, okay, so that brings us to the question that you opened up with a little while ago. Why does God let this happen? I mean, why didn't God say, a Buddhism, wrong, I'll wipe it out. Mormonism, wrong, I'll wipe it out. Islam, wrong, I'll wipe it out. Jehovah's Witnesses, wrong, I'll wipe that theology out. All kinds of Christian heresies, wrong, I'll wipe them out. Why didn't God do that? Why would he leave these things on earth to confuse, mislead people? Well, it's a very good question. Let me tell you the answer. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. Paul says, but even if our gospel is veiled, even if our gospel is hidden, it is veiled for those who are perishing, in whom the God of this age, stop. Who's the God of this age? Satan. Yes, exactly right. The God of this age, the God of what is happening right now on earth. Jesus and God, they have turned over a certain amount of this world's history and activity to the influence of Satan. Why? I'm not 100% sure all the details on this, but he's called the God of this age. He has tremendous influence on what's going on in the world today. And yes, God sets limits on him, especially when it comes to dealing with us as believers. But he has a lot of free reign here on this earth until the Lord returns. Now, for those who are perishing, 1 Corinthians chapters 1 and 2 say that those who are perishing cannot see and understand the gospel. They are unbelievers. For those who are perishing, the gospel is veiled, so they don't see it. Watch. In whom the god of this age, Satan, has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. These are those who are perishing. He has blinded their minds lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. But look at verse 6. God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The reason we are following Christ is because the Holy Spirit illuminated our hearts, removed our blindness, drove the scales off our eyes, like he did the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9, and enabled us to see the truth of the gospel. Praise God. Praise God. That's the reason you're following God today, not because you figured the gospel out. God, the Holy Spirit, removed your blindness. How sweet it is. That's why you're following Christ. But the rest of the world, he has not done that for. Say, why? Folks, I'm not God. I can't explain it to you. I'm just thankful he removed my blindness. And I'm praying he remove the blindness of others that I love and care about, as I hope you are. But I can't answer that question. But the point is, Satan is blinding the minds of people who are perishing. He is deceiving them. He is misleading them. He is deluding them. And this is why these religions are still around, because one of the key things he uses to delude and deceive people who are perishing is all these other religions they get involved in, and they start believing. But these things are not leading them towards salvation. The religions are not leading them towards the true God of the universe. These religions are not leading them to eternal life and forgiveness of sin and heaven. No, no. All these religions are leading them away from God, away from salvation, away from heaven. Now, they don't believe that, all of these people who are perishing. They don't believe that. But we who are believers understand that if it's not the true gospel about Jesus and his death, his burial, his resurrection from the dead, and that I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to heaven and the Father but through me. If it's not that gospel, it's leading people astray and straight to hell. And because Satan has been given by God the right to mislead and delude unbelievers, you say, why would God do that? Friends, that's a much longer sermon than today, and I'm not 100% sure why he does it. I have some theories based on scripture, but he does allow the enemy to do this, and people are born spiritually blind, and the enemy takes advantage of that and leads people towards hell in all these false religions, which is why they're still around. Satan has made sure they're still around. Are you with me? Now, will there come a day when all these false religions will be removed from the earth? Yes, at the return of Christ. And in the millennial kingdom that he's the king, ruling here on earth for 1,000 years, yes, all of these other false isms and ologies will be removed. There'll be no more Mormonism. There'll be no more Jehovah's Witnesses. There'll be no more Muslims, Islam. There'll be no more Buddhism and Taoism and Confucianism, Zoroastrianism, and none of that will exist anymore. But for now, they do. And how many billions of people are being led astray by the enemy who has blinded their minds? You know, I think of the movie The Matrix with Keanu Reeves. I like that movie because I see in that movie a parable of what's really going on spiritually here on the earth. Other than the people who took the red pill, like Neo, the rest of all these people on the earth going about their business are blind. They don't understand they're part of the Matrix. They don't understand that all of this is not leading them where they think they're going, that it's not reality, true reality, and that someone has to reach in, like they did for Neo, and grab and bring them out of that and open their eyes to see what true reality is. Well, that's a parable about what happens with salvation. We're on this earth going about our business up until the time we get saved, and we don't understand that we're spiritually blind, that Satan is blinding our eyes, that he's deluding and deceiving us, and he's leading us straight for hell, whether he's using drugs to delude us, or education to delude us, or false religion to delude us, or whatever. American humanistic society, yes. And somebody's got to reach in with the gospel and grab us out. The Holy Spirit's got to grab us out. And in a sense, give us the red pill of the gospel. And suddenly our eyes are open. And we understand what real reality is. You understand me? So, let's conclude by saying this is why these false religions exist. This is why that longevity is not reality. The longevity of all these false religions, these isms and ologies, just because they last for a long time doesn't mean they're real, they're right, they're true, or that they're leading us to true salvation, true forgiveness of sin, true redemption, true heaven, and true relationship with the living God. No. So, you with me now? Gamaliel was wrong. Longevity does not mean reality when it comes to false isms and ologies. It is simply a way of Satan continuing to deceive, delude, and mislead millions and billions of people straight into hell. Are you with me? Okay. Now, what does that mean we should do? Friends, means we should pray for people who are caught up in this blindness of the enemy. Pray that the Holy Spirit inject himself into Satan's blindness culture and pull out, illuminate, and pull out, convict of people of their need for Christ and pull them out into true reality, which means walking with Christ and learning what is true and right out of the scripture. May God help us do that. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, right now, I want us all to think of a person or two that we know who's caught up in that blindness, they're still in the matrix, so to speak. And let's pray right now for their souls, that God would reach in, open their eyes, drop the scales, help them see their need for Christ. Let's take a moment and pray for them. Lord Jesus, have mercy, please, on these people we've prayed for. Rescue their souls. Drop the scales. Cancel out their blindness. Bring them to Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And what? Amen. Now, don't you dare believe that those prayers of yours are powerless. Don't you dare believe that. I prayed for my dad exactly like I'm trying to challenge you to pray for your friends, your relatives, that God would drop the scales from his eyes. Took 7 years, but God did it. I prayed for my brother, 15 years, but God did it. I prayed for my mother, 22 years, but God did it. Don't you dare think those prayers, even though nothing may happen for a while, God the Holy Spirit is going to do everything he can justly and righteously do to reach that person, cancel their blindness, and bring them to Christ. So, don't you dare, as long as there's breath in their body, don't you dare give up. Okay. Hey, God bless you. We'll be in touch with you from Africa, and I'll be here next week, and we'll continue on with our study here in the book of Acts. God bless. How sweet it is. Bye now.